Welcome back to another episode of Titans of Now. Titans reaches a wide audience of ServiceNow admins, developers, architects, and product owners. So if you want your brand in front of this audience, check out the description below for how to contact me about sponsorship opportunities. If you want to know what I'm up to lately, I invite you to discover Vivid Charts. Vivid Charts is a visualization and storytelling platform built on ServiceNow. Stop exporting data off platform to get the aesthetic control and storytelling experiences that you want. Hey everyone, welcome back to the channel. It is so good to have you here. We're back with another absolute titan of the ServiceNow space. You might know him as a developer advocate and co-host of both the Live Coding Happy Hour and the Creator Toolbox playlist on YouTube. But before that, he was still a titan, widely known as one of the better and more helpful devs on the ServiceNow community, even before his stint at ServiceNow. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my honor to bring you Brad the Beard Tilton. Brad, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It is my pleasure to have you, sir. Okay, everybody knows the protocol by now. We start at the start. Tell us how you got your start in the ServiceNow ecosystem.
Yeah, so in 2008, I was working for an energy company I was working on the service desk, and that company was a customer of a legacy a legacy ITSM provider, and it was going to cost them like $1 million to upgrade, or they could go with ServiceNow for a small fraction of that cost in a new implementation in about a tenth of the time it would take them to upgrade to the new version of this other tool. They asked the service desk, are there any volunteers to help implement the new software? And I volunteered for it. And in fall of 2008, I went through my two-day admin training at that time. And there was a team of us doing it, and we started doing some implementations. We were doing incident and catalog and change, I think was what we started with. And I just kind of picked it up pretty quick. And I think, you know, we started that in October, and I think by December I was full-time doing ServiceNow development work. I think we went live in like 10 weeks. And then, you know, there was already a mountain of enhancement requests once people realized what it could do. And, you know, it was really off to the races from there. I didn't really do service desk work anymore and, you know, quickly became kind of the full-time admin and developer.
It's crazy for the time. I mean, I think today everybody's like, oh, 10-week deployment, that's the norm. But, I mean, back in the day, that was, like, ludicrous. The idea of a 10-week implementation was insane.
Yeah, I think it was if we had stuck with the existing tool to upgrade from like version 5 to 6 or whatever it was going to be 9 months and seven figures to do the upgrade. And, you know, we did that, both of those in a fraction of the time and cost.
I had a similar experience. We were switching over from HP Service Desk, and we had literally come off of like 10 months of doing nothing but trying to get it to work. And it's probably like, to be fair to HP, it was more like 4 months, 5 months of deployment. And then the rest was fixing what wasn't working guaranteed for the deployment. And it was like literally days of, we're finally past the finish line. And then we were already in the procurement phase for ServiceNow.
Wow.
And, you know, everybody's so shocked. We were even worried, like, we got the ServiceNow implementation done so fast. We're like, we're going to look like chumps. We deployed this so fast, people are going to be wondering what we did wrong.
Yeah.
What was, did you have any big aha moments on that, on your first, on the first trip around?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, the ability to just spin up a new table to like look something up or, you know, whatever you needed to do was just so quick compared to other tools. And, you know, adding a field to something was just kind of like a no-brainer in ServiceNow. I'll always remember, though, after we went live I had been, you know, doing some admin and development work for a couple of months, and we had this deal in the IT department where we do these status reports where you would fill out a PowerPoint, send it to your manager, they'd take everybody that reports to them, take all their stuff, put it in a PowerPoint, send it to their manager. It was about four levels. And it was basically, I think, probably the first two thirds of everyone's day on Thursdays was status reports. And the, you know, the higher up you were in the food chain, the longer it took you to kind of consolidate everything. And so I remember a lot of what my team was putting in their status reports was just like ticket details. And so I was like, we have all this data. What if we like automated the consolidation of all of this, at least for my manager? And, you know, I think I built an app to do that, you know, on the, you know, I guess 2009 version of ServiceNow at that point, and like a half a day or something. It was, you know, a pretty quick little thing that I threw together that just pulled all this data together and ended up generating something that could be pasted into a PowerPoint. And then from there, we did some enhancements. But I think that experience was when I really kind of fell in love with the power of the platform and how fast it is to do things like that.
Truth, man, truth. And I'm just like over here completely biting the inside of my mouth off. Not to just insert an advertisement for Vivid Charts here, because it's just that whole thing, right? Like, let's take all the data out of the platform. We could just spend all that time putting data into the platform. Let's pull it all out of the platform again. So what can we do with it? Report on it. Yes. Oh my goodness. So like, I know you from like all over the place, all kinds of different ways. I remember you answering questions for me on the community, like back in 1912 when we both worked for partners. And but for those that, I mean, a lot of people will know you from your live coding happy hour and such. But for those who don't, why don't you just tell the world how they should know you?
Yeah, so I don't know if you should know me, but
Let me answer that question for you. You definitely should know Brad Tilton. If you want to get anywhere in ServiceNow, it's just his resources are way too good not to be a part of. Anyways, sorry for the interrupt. Go ahead.
No worries. I think front-end development is what I've been mostly interested in my career. So I built one of the first CMS portals when the content management system came out. We could finally build like some HTML portals and then presented on it at Knowledge 10. I think I got from that Knowledge 10 presentation, I would get people hitting me back up, like asking questions about CMS, like up until Service Portal came out in, 2015, whenever that was. So I think that, and then community, I was really active on community, especially when I started consulting, and was kind of encouraged where I was consulting to be active on the community. So I really took that and ran with it and, tried to answer as many questions as I could and write blogs and that sort of thing. And, you know, I think at one point I was like number three in points. Now all sorts of people have passed me up. I'm not in the top five anymore, but I was pretty active on community. I still am, try to be kind of active off and on community. And then at ServiceNow, I've done some, I was really active with technology partners for a couple of years. I had a role where I supported technology partners, so I knew most of the partners at that point. The last couple of years I've been doing platform and developer stuff. And so, I'm more active on the SNDev Slack and on our developer YouTube and blog and things like that.
Man, you mentioned like falling out of the top five on community. And I just for some context on how easy that is these days, so many people contending, I fell from like, I think number 6 to 16 in like a quarter.
Yeah.
There's some just beastly people. I don't know when they sleep. You know, I got my position because I just chipped away at it for 10 years. And then in one quarter, I go from like top 10 to top 20.
Yeah. I mean, I have found that over the years, I've just tried to be really consistent. This is probably the worst I've been at it, since I've been doing things on the community in the last 10 years, but I've always tried to answer like at least a couple of questions a week. And, if you stick with it long enough, you're going to outlast a lot of people who, change jobs and it's not important to them anymore. But you're right. There are some people on there now that are just all over it and really doing a great job, but just all over the place. And, I don't know how they find the time. I've always thought that about Chuck, just being on the community, but then I work on the same team as Chuck. And so I know like all of the things that he does, and I still have no idea how he gets it all done. But the community's part of that.
Do you find like that the way people approach the ServiceNow community, small c, like the big aggregate community, has changed quite a bit in a few years. Because even though you post less on community, I would say your contribution, the community big C, the website, you may post there less, but the contributions you make to community small c are way more prolific and profound, wouldn't you say? I mean, LHCC takes time, or LCHH, I should say. The other videos take time.
Yeah,
I'm not sure what I'm asking there, but like, I just feel like, have you felt the shift in the way people consume learning in the ecosystem?
Yeah, so kind of a shift away from the community site to more just overall community.
Well, I mean, time was, and you were back there too, right? Time was where the only place you could go was community and wiki, right?
Yeah.
That's the only place we could find out the new ideas. But I feel like of late, there's been a shift to video content, especially in order to teach people macro concepts. And then the community is still there and imminently useful for the, oh, I'm having this weird problem, or I want to have a deep philosophical discussion on something.
Yeah, I think there's probably been, I don't know if there's been a shift as much as it's just grown so much, and that we have a lot more content outside of the community, but maybe the community content's growing also. I haven't really seen the numbers, but you know, I definitely think like with the video content right now, you know, it's a lot easier to make and host high quality video content than it was in the past. So there's more of that. There's some really good content, you know, your stuff, in addition to a lot of our other, you know, dev MVPs and just people in the community. You know, there's a lot of good content out there. So, and I think people are looking more video first. You know, you probably get more YouTube hits now than you would have 5 years ago, where people might've just gone to the community. And now, you know, they're maybe searching in more places or looking at aggregators that are pulling a lot of things together. But I do think there are more things out there. You know, there used to be kind of a very small handful of sites that were not the community, like the Guru, and you know, maybe a couple of other ones that you might search the community and then go search those two or three sites, and then you're kind of done searching. And now there's stuff everywhere, including the SN Dev Slack, which is an incredible resource.
It is. And if you haven't heard of SN Dev Slack, please check the description below. We'll have a link to that to you. Great, great resources for getting questions answered quickly. So let's go back over your history of consulting a little bit, because you must have done a wide variety of things. Why don't you tell us about a time that really inspired you, like something where you're like, gosh, I don't know if the tool can do that, but I'll give it a shot.
One of my favorite projects that I did while I was consulting was this project. It was a healthcare system, and they were implementing, I don't even remember the name of the, it's like the big healthcare software that basically everybody implements.
Epic?
And I think it was Epic. So where it was like a multi-year implementation. And part of that was people had to take training. So if you're a doctor in a specific department, you had to take these training classes. And so everybody had to take training on it. And so they had a way that they could manage the classes, and they know who took what training, but they didn't have a way to say this type of role needs to take this training, and then say you're in or out of compliance. And they were looking at software to do it, but it was really expensive. And so I was working on another project for this customer, and they mentioned it to me, and we got to talking, and we're like, I think we can build this in ServiceNow pretty easy. And so we ended up building this, where we just pulled in all of the historical data every day, you know, who took what class. And then we built this system that just took in all this data and matched up, you know, who had taken classes with who had, you know, who needed to take classes. And it was like a pretty small project. And, you know, it was just another one of those, like the power of the platform was just so huge compared to what the other options out there were. And, you know, we did it for a very small cost compared to everything else. I think that was one of my favorite things that we did, just because it was kind of a random thing that came up. And we built it and implemented it, and the, you know, the customer loved it, and it was a fun project to do as well. Yeah, that's probably my favorite thing that we did.
Did you find that there's places where, like, I in the early days when I was doing those ITSM implementations, I feel like I get partway through the ITSM implementation, and then, like, once people could see the capabilities, it would be like, pause, no, we got a real problem for you to solve with this. That's what gave me my assurance that this was always going to be bigger than IT.
Yeah, it was a nice thing. You know, you're working on a project with somebody. I really loved the implementations that we did that were more like enablement, to where it was like you would do a lot at the beginning, but by the end of it, you weren't really doing a lot of hands-on keyboard. You kind of trained the customer admins on how to work everything. And like long-term, that's what was most successful, I think. But it was always great to see, like, the more people used it, the more they liked it. And, you know, I hope that's still the case. But that, you know, that was something I always enjoyed, which is not, you know, absolutely not always the case with software.
So one question my audience loves is just, because we have all the titans, like the true titans on the show, but I love to show that everybody gets those points where they feel cornered, their back's against the wall, those moments where you have to wonder, am I going to make it? Like, can I survive this? Did you ever have any of those situations while you're out in the field?
Yeah, I had a particularly challenging product when I was consulting that I had helped scope, which makes it worse because there was nobody to blame for it. But it was an integration that we did with another system that, you know, we had kind of thought we could use most of this other integration that had been done in ours. And it turned out not to be the case because the system was just this really rigid thing that didn't return really any like error messages, and so you would build something and then try to send it to the external system and they would just send back an error. And there was this one person at the customer that knew the system really well, and basically I had to get on the phone with this person every day and say, okay, this is what I tried, and it gave me an error, and they're like, oh yeah, you're missing a piece of data. And then, but then there was all of these different variations, and, you know, it was one of those where like we went crazy over hours, and it was just kind of a terrible, like by, you know, three quarters of the way through the project, I was like, should I just quit and then I don't have to finish this project? Or, you know, it was one of those where it had just gotten so painful. And I don't even know, you know, I shared some blame. I think the blame was all shared around. It was no one person to blame. It was just one of those like hard situations. And I definitely learned a lot about scoping projects and doing better due diligence at the beginning from there. But that was a rough one.
So Knowledge 21 is coming up in a hurry. Are you involved in that at all?
It is. And I'm involved in a few different places. One of the big ones is the hackathon is running on May 8th. That starts at 10 a.m. Pacific and runs for 24 hours. We did something kind of similar last year where we ran it for a whole weekend. But we think this 24-hour time period is going to be good and have gotten a lot of positive feedback on it. So what we're going to do is we're going to run it for 24 hours. And then we'll have the announcement in a knowledge session, I think about a week and a half later. So hackathon is a really big one. And then I actually wrote a session, a lab for the first time in a couple of years around using UI Builder to build a blog portal. Somebody can consume a blog. And then we also have another UI Builder session that's a lab on building the author experience through Workspace for that for the blog app. So I think that'll be a really neat thing to work through. There's two different labs. You can work them in any order, but I would encourage you to do that. And then we have a ton of other content for that. We'll be doing a live coding happy hour. Chuck Tomasi is going to be doing a build with Chuck. We're also going to be doing some Jeopardy sessions where you answer questions about ServiceNow. And then one of the things I'm most excited about is the last thing that happens on the last day is Chuck is going to do a karaoke session where he does karaoke for up to 4 hours. He loves doing karaoke, has written this big karaoke app, which is what we'll be using, but it's a charity thing. So I think the more that gets donated to charity, the more songs open up, ServiceNow will be donating money. So that'll be a fun thing. I think you might even be able to like make him sing songs that he doesn't like singing or pick something really hard. So it'll be a fun way to end the conference. So we have a lot going on. There's a ton of content. And again, this year is just going to be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday next week, and then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of the next week. So the, I think 11th through 13th, and then 18th through 20th. And then we've got a great keynote as well. And I can't remember what date it runs on.
Sorry, I have some construction going on in the background. So there's no way I can avoid that. So it's going to be in the background. Sorry about that.
Oh, no problem.
You must have been to a ton of knowledges. Have you been to them all since you've been in the space?
So my first one was in 2009, and then I missed New Orleans in 2012. I had like just started consulting and didn't get to go to that one, but I've been to, I counted it at one, I think it's 11 or 12, counting the virtual ones, or this will be 11 or 12.
What was your favorite knowledge moment?
Ooh, so Knowledge 11, I remember really vividly, you know, at the Paradise Point where it rained, even though it was in San Diego. And I felt like that was the first Knowledge where ServiceNow really put some money into like the visual effects and everything. That was really when I was like, oh yeah, this is a big deal, and it's becoming even more of a big deal. I think that was like my third Knowledge. And then, I remember like the first CreatorCon in 2015, where it was actually after the Knowledge conference, but in the same place, kind of like, okay, now we're getting serious about developers and creators. And then just the last couple in person, they're just so huge. There's so many people there now. And, you know, it's crazy that you can walk around the whole expo hall floor. And, you know, I've been around for a long time, but I could make a lap around the floor and see maybe one or two people that I knew, and that was it. So it was, it's just kind of nuts how big it's gotten. And I am really looking forward to possibly being able to do it again in person at some point, which hopefully will happen.
Truth. You know, I was just making a video today about memories of Knowledge 11, and I found this tweet. And somebody's like, standing room only, 1,000 people under the tent. Just like, two words you couldn't possibly use anymore. 1,000 and tent.
Yeah, I remember actually my first Knowledge was, I think it was less than 500 people. It was in the Omni at San Diego. And I remember going to a session on project management because it was coming out later that year. And the developer that wrote it was giving the session because he was like the only person involved in project management. I just remember like cornering him afterwards and asking him a bunch of questions about, you know, how to use it and how to implement it. And, you know, it's just one of those things where, yeah, it's the project developer. So I'm going to go ask that one person a bunch of questions.
There's one question I like to ask all my guests, and that's if you could change, like based off of all your experience, if you could change one thing about the product or the ecosystem, what would it be?
Oh, that's a good question. This is a hard one for me because I kind of know our roadmap for a while. So there's some stuff that I can think of, and I think I want us to hit that target, right? Because like, you know, things get deprioritized or moved around, or they end up being harder to do than other things. So I have to think of something. Something that I would really like to see that was actually, I think it was sort of demoed in a CreatorCon keynote, and then we ended up changing directions, is being able to work in multiple scopes within Studio, kind of in the same Studio window, and not having to switch scopes to do different things. I think would make it a lot easier for people just to kind of live in Studio, especially if, you know, if we're able to update that at some point. So that's, I have no future information on that, but I think that's one thing that I would really like to see because we kind of got a glimpse of what it might look like in the past, and that would be a good one. What's been the most common answer to that question?
I don't think there has been a commonality. I think a lot of people have just had really unique perspectives. I mean, it's a question I love asking the old timers, right? Because
yeah.
You know, because just that volume of experience and just the myriad of perspectives that they have. And I do like to get a different variety of people here. Like I've had Sarah Weeks, and she's a recruiter, right? And sorry, getting back to the question. I don't know. I don't know if you could nail down a common theme. Sometimes it's, yeah, it's a feature. Sometimes it's, I wish it was a way the ecosystem worked. I wish it was something more people knew. People tend to take it a lot of different directions, which is why I ask it. Another one I love to ask, and one a lot of people enjoy, is there's a lot of new, like, there's probably more new people in the space than there are everybody else. What would you say, like, what would be your advice to somebody newly learning the tool?
Yeah, so my favorite thing to tell people to do, especially, so, you know, I'm kind of focused on creator workflows, building apps with App Engine. So if that's what you're doing, my favorite thing to do is just to have somebody think about a problem that they want to solve that maybe they can solve with software that lets you spin up a database and automate stuff quickly, and then try to solve that problem. And so for me, I have a lot of fun when I do like personal things, like what we've done, you know, the cooking management app to manage long, you know, meat smoking times on Live Coding Happy Hour. And that was a fun one to work on because it's a thing that I would not say I'm an expert, but it's an area where I have some expertise and knowing how the process should work. And so I can take this like process expertise and apply it to developing on the platform. And I think that's a good, you know, that's a good thing to try. So, you know, if you have a hobby that you're really into and, you know, maybe you're managing something through a spreadsheet, see what you can do in a PDI, you know, use Integration Hub, see if, you know, you want to send some emails out and integrate with some external things. But yeah, solve some problem, try to solve some problem on the platform. You probably want to start with doing some learning content. But from there, you know, nothing beats actually getting into it and trying to do something with it.
One of the most inspiring things I've seen in this ecosystem is just that how easy it is for people who come from outside of IT to pick up the tool. And then they bring such a richness in thinking about other ways of working or nuances of work. And I just had this lady I know in my network, and she was a, you know, a homemaker for years and years and years, and she's decided to get into having a career and learn ServiceNow. And she's kind of like, oh, well, what do I know? I'm a homemaker. Like, are you kidding? Like, first of all, that's like four full-time jobs, right? Yeah. But when we sat and thought about what could you build on ServiceNow to practice, and just think about, you know, it was this idea of like, okay, there's certain tasks that you have to do every day, but if you don't do them that day, the tasks, they have to go away on their own. They're not useful anymore. But you have new versions of them the next day. Like, did you take the garbage out? No, if you missed the last one, it's missed. That task must close. And you'd want to see it close as a failure. But this week, if they did it, you want to see it. There's this whole idea of like scheduled recurring tasks with an expiry date. And, you know, point accumulation so that you can match benefits to work performance. And I'm just thinking, like, who would have thought 10 years ago, 15 years ago, that homemakers, critical as they are, would teach IT anything about work? It's just like, no, sit, you sit and listen, you know, and learn something incredibly valuable. So I'll just echo that, man. It just, like, if you don't come from IT, if you don't know ServiceNow, embrace that. That's such a benefit that nobody really has, to come at it with fresh eyes and to just not know the biases, and just don't judge your past experience by anything. Just take all that bias away and approach ServiceNow with fresh eyes. I would kill to have that again. I just, I'd love to go back with fresh eyes, but I'm old and tired. And anyway.
Yeah. And I mean, having, and you know this better than anybody, but like having that type of perspective, like on a hackathon team, is hugely valuable. Like, people that are not necessarily, I don't even like to say super technical, because who even knows what that means at this point, but don't have a lot of experience in ServiceNow, still have a lot to contribute because they are bringing that fresh perspective, where, you know, they haven't, there are things that I do on the platform that are less efficient than somebody coming right into the platform and doing it, because that's how I've been doing it for 12 years. And it's just hard to change, where somebody can come in now and just say, oh, this is the best way to do this thing, and just do things that way. So yeah, I totally agree that fresh perspective is great, especially in a team. I think it's so important to have that in whatever team you're working on, whether it's a hackathon team or, you know, a consulting team or whatever that is.
Well, let's go there on the hackathon thing, because we have hackathon coming up. Obviously, we want to promote that at Knowledge 21. I've always thought hackathon is one of the most important things at Knowledge. So let's kind of promote that for a little bit right now. I've always said it takes all types to do a hackathon, right? Like, don't worry, there's going to be hardcore developers there. You don't have to be a hardcore developer to be on a team and contribute. I would know I'm not a hardcore developer by any stretch of the imagination. I'm the weakest dev in the dev MVP program by a long shot. Okay, it's not even close, okay?
I don't think that's true.
But, like, there's been hackathons, Brad, where it's like, I literally, like, I didn't touch the code. I didn't build anything. It was just me for 8 hours practicing that 5-minute story that we tell. So it's like, it needs all types. So if you're a person to just like, oh, I come from the pest control industry, whatever, right? Come with that story, get 3 or 4 developers who could just build whatever it is, and then just immerse yourself in the horrificness of what you had to struggle with in that labor. Immerse yourself in the BS of it. Like, I hated working on this because blank. There's your hackathon industry. Anybody who can feel passionately can win a hackathon.
Yeah, that's a great point. As you know, I did a lot of judging last year. I'll be doing a lot of judging this year. The way we're doing it is, I think, 3 to 5 minute pitch videos. So nailing that is like just as important as what you actually build, right? You have to be able to communicate what it is that you're building and what problem you're solving, why it's a problem, how you solved it, and why that is important. And then you have to be able to communicate that to somebody like me. You have to be able to communicate that to, you know, a solution consultant, to our, you know, VP of product, who's going to end up being the final judge this year and was one of the judges last year. And so, you know, being able to communicate something like that is just as important as actually building the app. And so, yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, you need somebody on the team that's good at doing that.
All right, Brad, we are approaching time. So last word goes to you. Anything you want to tell anybody?
Oh, I should have planned this better. No, I would say, you know, my role right now is really, you know, community driven and enabling developers and advocating on behalf of developers and advocating on behalf of our platform. And so, you know, I would say, you know, we have this really incredible developer community, both on the Big C community, on Slack. You know, there's Discord and Reddit and Twitter and LinkedIn. There's a Facebook group. You know, you can get help in a lot of different ways. You know, I would encourage you to reach out, however that is, and get help with something. And if you don't need help, just find one of those platforms or more than one of those platforms and try answering somebody's question every now and then. I know I have learned a ton from answering people's questions, you know, more from doing that than asking my own questions probably. So yeah, be involved in the community. And then we also have developer meetups that happen in most geographies. They're all virtual right now, which makes it even easier to find a developer meetup. You don't have to live in the geography of the meetup that you go to. We have some people that join all developer meetups and, you know, get involved in a developer meetup. When they do start meeting in person, try going in person and meeting other developers. And, you know, those connections and relationships will help you out later on, whether that's like job hunting or just, you know, needing help with a problem. So that's, you know, one of the things that I think I've learned over, you know, the 12 plus years in the ServiceNow community, especially, is like, people want to connect with you and help out. So all you have to do is get out there and ask.
Amen and amen, brother. All right, so we're at time. Brad, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you out there.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
If you'd like to sponsor this channel's content, email me at the address pictured here. If you need a conversation on where your ServiceNow implementation is or where it's going, you can reach me on SuperPeers and book a short consult. If you want to contribute to high quality, high frequency output, consider a donation. If not, I still appreciate your viewership. Consider hitting the like button and sharing within your network. Thanks for watching.